Welcome to the Play Myself show. My name is Miles.
My name is Mo.
And we have a very special show for you guys tonight.
Yes, we do.
We do. I got my buddies, the main Cam. Ooh. I hear like some reverb.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
All right, so we're not going to do that for whoever's watching. But let me get these windows out here because this is like very unprofessional. But it's fine. Comments and reactions. Talk heavy. Right? Like, yeah, it's it. This is still Miles, of course, and I got my Sherman Williams shirt on, but you don't see that. But you do see that love period, and we coming with that.
Sure.
Next time. But for now, applaud me. Hey.
Are we doing that?
But folks. And I see that no one is on the chat right now. I don't see for right now, of course.
You probably just don't see it.
Yeah, I see Brooke saying, hey, guys.
So hey.
Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Brooke.
But this looks funny because it's like not how it should be. So let's change this. Why it's only Brooke and because she's fam. Let's do that. And this is what how I've been getting better with Vlogmas. It's like, okay, let's change it while we go. Right, let's do the thing. Let's do it live. All right. And okay. So I want to introduce our guests. We got Ryan.
Ryan.
Hello, hello.
We have Nate.
What's happening?
What's going on, guys?
We also have a wrinkle sheet under these guys because that's a couch that hasn't been cleaned in a while, and I have guests. So, and we have guests, and it's never going
to
be like.
Why are you talking like that?
Because I'm trying to build anticipation.
You're talking and weird.
We have Mo. So Mo, now you're laughing, and you are in like what we might call maybe a gym light, or like a what's that movie called with the vampires?
There's many of them.
No, with like the newer movie where it's like
Twilight.
Yeah, where Mo's like in that light. It's like a gym class hero.
I can't see myself.
Yeah, I know.
But it's all right. It's all right.
It's okay.
You don't want to.
You don't want to because you're like in that light.
I think you're pretty.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Too.
But but back to me, guys.
Yeah.
And back to everyone
Miles.
Else, right?
Back to Miles.
Yeah. Right. Because Mo just got here. What's up, Andrew? I see you here. Thanks, brother, for coming.
You know, I always notice that you always want to point out the things that are wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Why you point? Nobody had to know that I just got here. Why you got to be a sucker like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's
nah,
a sucker,
you being
bro.
A sucker. That's what you're doing.
I just feel like it's the truth, bro. You just got here. So, all right. So we do have guests, Mo, and it's not like it's just you and I. But
again, that's what he does.
So welcome Ryan and Nate to the show.
Yes.
Guys. And you are the new group and you're on cam right now. Yeah, there's a bottle of Angel's Envy right in your shot, but I'll grab it as soon as we get from your shot. But man, I thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. And just the rules for Play Myself show is we will talk heavy on whatever and wherever the conversation goes because we are the leaders of the new school, I believe.
Leaders of the new school.
Here goes Mo.
I like that.
All right, leaders of the new school, Mo. That's who we are.
We're the leaders of the new school.
Okay. So, guys, one thing I wanted to talk about, right? And it was like, when I say this is like really nothing in my mind and I'm trying to think while I talk. And it's just basically like what I always ask Mo, and we can always start the conversation on this is like, how was your week, guys, besides Mo? Ryan first.
Yeah, it's normal week, pretty basic. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing horrible.
Loafers every week.
Loafers for life. What do you know about loaf? Give me a pound, eh? Loafers for life. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, pretty basic week, knock on wood.
Well, what is a basic week for you as whatever you do for work or whatever you do? Like, on this show, like, we basically try to act like we don't know each other, but we all know we know each other. But, like, let's say what a basic week in your loafers are.
They're comfortable.
I like loafers. Yeah, I like loafers.
Yeah, no doubt, you know. I should have coordinated the sock color a little bit better, but that's fine. I'll go with it.
Yeah, you're a married man.
Yeah.
Hey. Awesome.
So, so pretty basic. You know, nothing crazy. You know, it's COVID's world. We just live in it. So, you know, I'm a operations officer for an MP battalion within the New York Army National Guard. And, you know, activations, right? So, you know, we have a little bit of a surge to support the nursing home staff with our medics, and then as well as general purpose staff. So a little bit of surge with that. But again, it's COVID's world. We just live in it. We've been dealing with this since March of 2020. You know, the team and the staff have been doing great, and I couldn't thank them anymore.
I like that, but now I'm really interested to hear what Nate has to say, because Ryan was very media trained on that answer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
So I have a personal thing where I don't talk about work outside of work.
Yeah, same.
Because I fucking hate work. Count the days. So my kid was sick today, so I had to leave work early, thank God.
Boom.
And go take him to the doctor, and getting ready for the holidays. Christmas stuff is wrapped and under the trees. So that's where we're at. You know, it's kind of low key.
I respect that. But outside of work, right? Like, I always look at things like, okay, damn, I got to go to work. But like Nate said, it was like, yo, like, you try to like, remiss to where you are as far as like family life, and that's like that's like super interesting to me, because I'm like, my tree's not even wrapped, but like I know, like,
your Christmas tree,
yeah, like my Christmas tree is here.
What type of wrapping paper do you put on it?
No, because like, so the way we do it is like Max picks the Christmas tree, like, so we go to like the yard or whatever, and like he picks the Christmas tree. And like, that's the tree he wants, and he's like very adamant about it. But then like, it's up to like my wife to like want to decorate it. Like, Noelle decorates the Christmas tree because like that's her holiday, because she was born on Christmas. So like, Max doesn't know about Christmas, but like, I'm big on belief. So she puts the belief in his head, like, that's their holiday. So like, in my narcissistic brain, it's like, oh, so it's like two against one. So like, that's what they're trying to do to me. But like, I know like everything that's under the tree, I do. But we do, like, being Noelle and myself, we do. But like, I know like my personal presence to Max, like, they have to slap to him the most. But is that just me? Mo, what say you?
Wait, hold on. All right. All the stuff under the tree is you?
No, everything under the tree.
Everything under the tree.
So the things under the tree.
You said everything.
I know I said that, but if you ask me, let me explain myself.
All right.
So everything under the tree is not me. See, James said so heavy.
It's not you now.
It's not me, but like, there's things that's going to slap to my son. Because, like, so Max's biggest thing is like, hi-ya, right? So I'm going to buy him a sword.
Okay.
And Noel was like, do they have infant swords? I'm like, nah. He need a sword sword.
This thing's gonna be sharp as
hell. You need like a sword sword, yeah. But like, even if it's like an RPG,
a real sword?
Yeah, went to an antique store, man.
Antique? Like, no.
Ninja sword, dude.
No. So now, yeah,
that's what I would do.
Y'all trying to take my kids away? Nah, I'm trying to say like, I'll get him like a RPG sword that I can use in the studio after, just like a light sword. But if he wants to fight with it, we can do that. You know what I mean? Because like it's just like raising your kid with a weapon.
Y'all gonna sword fight in the house?
Of course. No, we do it every day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's doable. That's doable in the beach of my house. That way, that's doable.
Okay.
So talk heavy, Mo. If you got something.
Talk heavy on what? My week?
Excuse me?
Talk heavy on my week?
No, talk heavy on the sword play, but if you have nothing to say about that, talk heavy on your week, sir.
I mean, the sword play, I can't tell anybody how to raise their kid. So I'm not going to say that you're...
I can tell people how to raise their kid.
Are you me?
No.
I'm okay. Sorry. All right, then. All right. Relax, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So I can't tell anybody how to raise their kid, though. So I wouldn't tell you that you know, sword fighting with your kid in the house is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that.
Right.
Now, with that said, let's talk about my week.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So my week was not very, it's not very interesting per se. However, I did run into a situation where you ever run into a situation where are you both married? Or no, you're not married. You are.
I am.
I have been a couple times.
Yo, we have three failed marriages between the two of us. Let's talk relationships today. What? Sorry, man. I think it's dope.
Yeah, so, I think it's dope too.
So I ran into a situation where I don't really want to talk too heavy on this because it's not my business, but I want to kick my girlfriend's ex's ass.
Talk heavy, Mo.
I just want to do it.
How so? And why?
I want to do it because I feel like he deserves it.
Do you need a sword?
No. I feel
that's called a callback.
I feel like he deserves it though. You know, and some of the things that come and I don't want to because it's not me and I don't want to put her business out there, but realistically it's like things start to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, you know, if you're a piece of shit, you're a piece of shit no matter what.
For sure.
And so when things start reoccurring and you start seeing some of the things that like kind of occurred, then it just makes you want to like, you ever get into a situation where you wanted to fight your girlfriend's ex? And that's my question to you, Miles.
I never checked the pen.
No.
I never checked the pen. I got like my whole shit, like all my values are right behind you. So I have my strong things that I stand on. Like, yo, whatever like Noel did before me, I can't even like hold myself to think about it because like my thought is so heavy on what Miles has to do as far as my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets that way for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a selfish individual as far as like thought, I would say. And these men would talk there. That's a very interesting topic that you bring up, Mo, but like, these guys are talking on their thing, but like I can't like as far as Miles goes, nah, bro, I can't do that. Like,
if I'm gonna choose to go hard in the paint on something, it's not gonna be with my girlfriend's ex-husband.
That's a whole fact.
Because he's like 0% in our life at all. So I could care less what impact he has on anybody.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. You know. It's like I live like in the here and now. I'm not letting yesterday affect today.
Yeah, so Mo, so you stand alone, so talk heavy.
No, well, still one more.
Honestly, I think the same way. I mean, sometimes you can get caught up in that stuff and caught up in those emotions, and I respect that. But, you know, you live in the present and move forward. I give two shits about my wife's exes.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, if one of my buddies calls and says, you know, if Nate calls and says, hey, I need some help, like, I'm a ride or die.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, that's just me, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it sounds like you're caught up in the current, right? It's you're caught up in the whirlwind.
I mean,
so who am I to judge that current state, I mean, right?
So I never.
And I understand that, Mo. I definitely understand where you're coming from. For real, because I understand how you could think that what you're thinking, but at the end of the day, it's all it is like a button pusher. And it's like, yo, you got the princess. Like, you got to look at it like Mario Brothers. Like, yo, I got the princess, bro.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I never said that I was actually going to go and, you know, because at the end of the day, I wouldn't want to get myself in trouble or, you know, in any, you know, but it still doesn't mean that you don't want to meet this guy in a ring, you know, something like that, like something. That's kind of the way I feel. Like,
that's fair. No, that's, you know, fair. I mean?
Like, so it's not like after the show, I'm going to look this guy's address up and show up at his house, you know, but like,
there's an app for that.
Some things happen where you're just like, some things happen where you're just like, damn, like if I could just get my fucking hands around this guy, you know?
Yeah, but it's like, yo, so like, it comes to like, to me, it's like an energy thing, right? It's like, all right, yo, so like, how much, like, why is this person taking energy from my life?
For sure.
You know what I mean, Ryan? It's like,
and it's like that, and it's like, hurt people.
Right.
I don't want to sit and you're hurt, and I'm not trying to carry your luggage. My luggage is hard enough. My luggage is heavy enough. My rucksack is packed full.
Right.
Like, go hurt yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's my thought process, you know, but again,
yeah, like,
it sounds like you're a protective dude. Like,
yeah, that's it.
You're digging in your defense for your girl, and that's respectable, right?
Yeah.
You know? So fuck that guy. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, you can swear.
All right. So
after the first 3 minutes, you can swear. It's about the algorithm.
Oh, all right.
It's about the algorithm. But at the end of the day, like, yo, like what Ryan said is prevalent. It's like, look, bro. No matter what, you got what you need. That, like, people try to play the distraction in your life. Then that's just like the bottom line. Like, people will try to distract anything you have going on, but you gotta, like, know how to love, like, learn how to smile.
Well, I mean, my thing is that, like, our connection is so deep. Now, granted, we get into our arguments, we get into our fights like any other couple, right. But like at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, you know, she's there. So like when I see her hurt, then I'm hurt. And so I want to do whatever I can to make her not hurt, you know? And so like, I know that I can't do anything in this situation, but like in my mind, I'm just like, damn, I wish I could.
Man,
you know what I mean?
This is like,
I wish I could. You know,
this is,
I
mean? Like Ryan's forte, and I'll let him do what he does because I know he's gonna say something crazy, like not crazy, but he's gonna say something like, that to really get you where you're going. And I'm mad that you put him there, but this is like, I don't know. Like, to me, I'm gonna say what I have to say, Ryan. But I know you're gonna say something more profound. It's like, bruh. You forge your beginning, and as a leader, you are a steward of whatever you have going on. So, like, regardless of what anyone puts at the table, and Ryan's going to put it better, of course, and I'm putting pressure on him, even though it's undeserved pressure. It's just that, bro. Like, whatever you have, whatever you want, like, you're going through it already.
Okay.
Like, don't complicate it because of a loser.
I'm not, but it just, like what I was saying was, it doesn't stop me from like saying, damn, like I wish I could just fucking,
yeah, of course.
So go ahead, Ryan. No, he's gonna tell you something.
Anybody wants to, like,
he's gonna tell you know, profound.
Just strangle the dude, right?
Yeah.
Like, I respect that, you know. Let's go. I'll tell you when to stop strangling him, but you know, you don't want to turn into manslaughter. Like, we're not doing that, right? I look at it this way, and I struggle with this a little bit. Is there a leader in a marriage, or is there a leader in a relationship? And I don't know if that's true or not, right? And when it comes to stuff like this, I think this: leaders lead and winners win, right? Leaders can be winners and winners can be leaders, but it can also be exclusive. And I think, to me, and I'm still trying to figure it. My marriage isn't perfect by any stretch of imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure this out. They don't want someone to stand up for them, right? What I think a partner wants is a backstop when they're a pitcher, right? So when they throw a wild ball, they know they're safe. They throw a ball that goes beyond the catcher, they know that they're safe and that's going to come back. And to me, that's what I think. So if this tool bag, you know, X is going to do his thing, you know, that's the wild ball that's being thrown in her life right now. I think she just needs you to hear her, support her, empathize with her, and show her that she's safe. That's just me. You know what I mean?
That was tight. But I want Mo to say how he interprets that, but I really want to hear what Nate has to say about that, because Nate is off the whiskey and he like, ooh, I got something different to say because I got tied down.
So I guess for me, like, everything in life is situational.
Mm-hmm.
So like my knee-jerk reaction is like, what the fuck's going on where your girl's ex is still like in the picture? You know? But again, like, life is situational, so, like, there could be a lot of shit going on I don't know about. Like, maybe they're going through a divorce and they're dickering over a fucking house. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's a reasonable explanation. But, like, if she was never married to the dude, doesn't have kids with the dude, doesn't own property with the dude, why is the dude in your present?
Yeah, it's deeper than my shit.
But again, I don't know the whole situation.
Right.
This has been ambiguous from the start, so it's like, I don't know. You know, so I was like, I'm not as quick, you know, in my 39th year to pass judgment on things as I was in my 29th year,
because that's fair.
I realized that there's a lot of situations and nothing is black and white. Like, life is gray.
No.
You know, life is very gray. And if you don't know the whole situation, like, I don't feel qualified to pass judgment on your situation.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So, Mo, that's what I feel like. What Ryan said was prevalent, but I also feel like what Nate said was very prevalent as far as situation, like as far as baseline is concerned. But what do you have to say about that, sir?
I mean, I understand that she needs somebody for support and somebody to be there for her. And, you know, the last thing that she wants anything, you know, to happen is, you know, for me to go and get involved with someone, you know, from her past. And then now, you know, I can go to jail and things like that. And so
the last thing
that she wants to.
You can't go to jail. You're under contract. You can't go to jail. So you're going to play.
But no, I'm just saying, you know, like that's the last thing that she wants to see happen, you know.
Yeah,
but, you know, and I know that she comes to me with these things, you know, because she trusts me and she, you know, she wants that support. But anytime that anything happens with the person that you care about the most, in some way, shape, or form, no matter what it is, if it's hurting them, you're going to hurt too.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
I like
where that. I know that I can't, there's nothing that I can do except be there for support. And I know that I have to be there for support. But the thing that pisses me off is that I can't do anything really about it either.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So, you know, dovetail off that, not cut you off. Like, so what did we talk about yesterday, the other day, Nate, where it was like the best coaches aren't players, right? Right? Is that what you said?
People ask us, like, you know, like when I was single, they're like, you know, you give great relationship advice. Like, why aren't you in relationships? Like, coaches don't play.
Yeah, coaches don't. And that's a God's honest truth, right? And that's a God's honest truth. So, you know, I like to read. And that old book, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It sounds like.
My mom always tells me to read
it. Yo, it's money. And I fail at it.
I never read it.
I fail at it every single day. Right, like, I'm disgusting at it. But here's the deal. Women don't want fixers. They don't want protectors. They don't want any of that. They just want someone to listen.
But is that an opinion,
Ryan? I mean, it's a, you know, New York Times best-selling article with
no. I just feel like but I just feel like that's an opinion because I feel like if everyone knew what women wanted, we would just be like the people that they absolutely wanted. Give me a second. This is fine, but like I feel like. As a man, especially as a thinker, right, we're drawn to people, especially women, that we don't know what they want, and that's a leadership challenge. So when it comes to, like, what are you attracted to, right? Like, I'm attracted to leadership challenges, right? But when I get to that leadership challenge, and is it about conquering or is it about understanding what I'm up against?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's
hard.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's
right, you know, because someone could be a beautiful person, right? But then you're like, okay, this makes me happy. Like being able to stream on Wednesdays makes me happy. Like what it does to my wife, she's expressed several times how hard it is for her, but she tells me she doesn't want me to stop. How do I face that as a person? Like, understanding that I also have a full-time job. I'm also dealing with this, that, and the third. But, like, if I stopped, she would get mad. And I'm like, oh, well, I stopped for you. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, a good partner doesn't want you to give up on your dreams. And if that's your – and if this is your passion and dream, then, you know, take it and run with it. I think what I'm saying is that I think – this book, right, that I subscribe to says that women just want to be heard. They don't need you to fix their problem. And if you think that you need to be a protector or fix their problem, that's your ego getting in the way. And that's about you. You know what I mean? And no judgment. Like I'm Planet Fitness. I'm a judgment free zone. You know what I mean?
Because I just want to hear what Nate has to say.
Yo, what do you got?
Like, on what topic specifically?
On whatever Ryan just said 20 seconds ago. I know you were listening because I saw your face cringe.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's always like a joke. Like, women just want to talk about their problems. They don't, you know, they don't want, you know, it's hard because, like, we're guys. Like, we fix things. Like,
right.
I can fix anything that's broke. On anything, you know, so that was like a struggle I had to learn over, you know, a couple failed marriages and whatnot. But they just want to tell you about their shit, and like I always wanted to like say in the past, like that's what your girlfriends are for. Like, come to me if you want a solution. But now, like
that's yo, he's talking facts right now.
That's true.
Let me say something to give shoot Nate some bail. Because whatever.
I know he doesn't need bail, but I
I'm gonna shoot bail like this. It's like guys are more about like not hearing about like how we're gonna stay in the fail. Right? Like, yo, if I'm in the fail, like if Noel tells me, yo, this is something that we can't get through, I'm like, how long I got? Cause I'm gonna get through this shit just so we can have a good night and like hopefully I can get some sex and that's a bonus. You know what I mean? But like, that's my goal. But like everything else, when it comes to how you're going to fix something or do that in third, like, yo, like we're not looking for that long term shit. It's like, yo, if I got you, get me. Cause I'm bringing us to the promised land.
Well, you guys ever hear the phrase, it's not what you say, it's how you say it?
Yeah, I fuck it up all the time.
I hate that shit. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the chat's going crazy.
I'm horrible at it.
The worst part about that is that, like, I know that I do it. I know that it's how I say things. But if you know how I say it, and you know that I say things fucked up,
that should be a filter. Right. Yo, it should be an oil filter.
So we all think the same.
Yo.
Why is it an issue? Like, I mean.
So, I mean, that's one thing, like, where I'm fortunate. So, like, my girlfriend, you know, 2 years, Sarah, she's a gem. She's a therapist. She does children family therapy.
Oh, wow.
And she knows that grunt not use words so good.
Oh, man.
So her thing is always, like, you know, I understand that the way you say things sometimes, and, like, I'm paraphrasing. She would never say this. But, like, you say things really fucked up, but, like, the way you do things is very good.
Right.
So she, I'm blessed in that to have a partner that, like, she understands that, like, I'm not good with the words, but I'm good with the actions. So she focuses more on my actions and less on my words, because my knee jerk reaction is to be like, you know, suck it up. I don't fucking care. You know, like, go find a solution. But at the end of the day, like, I'm going to work with her and support her to get to wherever she needs to go.
Right.
And same thing, like, with our kids, you know, like, you know.
You know, me and my girlfriend are talking, I can only listen so far until I try to fix it.
Shit, Mo talking. Mo talking heavy. Sorry, hold on.
That's a real hard part.
Put the camera on you, Mo.
Yo, you deserve the camera right now.
It's talking heavy right now. But it's your girl's in the chat.
That shit's some CrossFit real,
yeah,
heavy.
Yeah, my girlfriend's in the chat right now.
She's in the chat. She said, a man who stands beside her is woman.
Correct.
But rehearse it before you talk.
But it's hard for me to listen to things for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Without trying to, like, okay, well, why don't you try to do this? I just did it before I left. Like, she was telling me something, and then I was like, okay, well, you need to try to do this, or you need to try to do that. Yeah. And I caught myself trying to do that, and I had to stop and listen. And so it makes it really, it's
Same.
So hard for me to stop and just listen, because they can, you know, if I let her go, you know, if I let her keep going, she can go on for about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eventually I'm just like, I want to try to fix it for you. Let's try to fix this first.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is that they don't want you to fix it. They just want you to listen. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that professionally.
That's so annoying.
Yo, it sucks. Yo, like, my wife will come home and just drop mic and just talk to me about her day, right? Mm-hmm. And one of her leaders, they're all nice people, right? But, you know, one of her leaders to me is a mental midget, right? Just 1 + 1 = 8 to him. and you know, she'll vent to me about it, and I struggle with just listening to it, because I do not do well with leadership failures. Right? I just don't do well with it. Right. If it's a failure in leadership, and I'm not trying to snipe out a leader, right? If it's a failure in leadership, like, I just don't do well with it.
Right.
And I'll tell my wife that. Here's how you need to fix it. Because I believe you can lead up, you lead down, and you lead laterally. Mm-hmm. Here's how you lead your leader.
Right.
Right. And that's what my thought is, you know, with it. But yeah, you just want to fix it, and you know what that turns into? That turns into either a fight or and reconciliation, or a fight and me sleeping in the spare bedroom. So, no, you know, I'm joking. But, you know, like, they just want to be heard.
That's a fact.
So.
Yeah, it's tough.
That is tough.
Yo, tough. It's like white knuckling coming off of, like, rehab.
Yo, Ryan, you hitting us with the sauce right now. I'm trying to figure out, like, how I lost my flow on, like, the camera switch.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but I got mine, and I gotta try to figure, like, the other one out. But, man, like, so to open up. To say that, like, we were on no topics before we started this. Like, we started, so.
I thought Nate and I were here to talk friendship. Man.
Now
we're talking relationships, dude.
But I started, like, so the way the morning started at 6:50 this morning was, I started, like, a group chat, like, all right, we're going to drink whiskey. We're going to just talk heavy. And my biggest topic was what is inappropriate for a guy to do, right? And it was like, okay, is it inappropriate for a guy to ask about like a girl's like makeup situation, whether if like you're gonna take it serious, and if you take her serious, does she have to take her makeup off and have no makeup, and or tell you about her family's mental health history, or is it like, where's the threshold? Like, is it before the first sexual encounter, or like, when do you like actually say it?
To follow right now.
So to follow is like, all right. So
I'm trying to follow what you're saying.
When what I'm saying is like, okay, I'm gonna put this on me because I gotta get these guys' cameras back on. I'm put this on you, Mo. So when do you like really understand like how serious you are about a female in this current climate? To where you say, okay, I don't really, I like you. I think I like you, but I don't know how you actually look without makeup. Or like, is your mom or dad dealing with any like mental health stuff that I might have to worry about in the near future? Respectfully,
beauty's on the inside. You know what I mean? Isn't that the answer that should be said?
But do you care?
Do I care that beauty's on the inside?
No. Do you care that like that might be a thing? Like if like would you ask
your old lady like, yo, like I want to know about like your family history before we take this any serious, before we take this to the next level?
Dude, I got to be honest with you. You're asking me to go back 11 years. That's not a thing for me.
I'm just telling you, bro. Like, I'm asking you. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like, yeah. It might not be like something that you want to talk about, but I'm just saying.
No,
like,
it's, you know, it's not something I can remember. For, 11 okay, years,
so for,
bro.
No, for the listeners, and Mo can talk heavy on it, but I'm saying for the listeners, like, do you think that's something that, like, you know, somebody, like, is it appropriate? I'm asking.
I think, you know, you're opening Pandora's box, in my opinion, you know? So, you know, if I'm asking about your family in general or your family and mental health, you know, within the first couple dates, you're opening Pandora's box because I don't want you to ask about my family. My family's a pretty bunch on crack. Like so I'm not going down that road. I'm just not going down that road. Like, I'm gonna ask about your family because I care about you.
So Melissa says she's confused. It makes
so
it
am I.
Like I'm like it's a breakup issue for you. No, it's not that it's a breakup issue. It's just that like I'm basically asking everyone, how important is it to you?
For me, it's not important at all.
What?
It's not important. No, yes. Because at the end of the day, I look at it like this. Me and Brooke have been together almost a year. Yeah. All right. You know, we live together, we do everything together. Her family history, their mental health has nothing to do with Brooke's mental health. That has nothing to do with it. So that is irrelevant. I can care less. Her whole family could be in a mental institution and it wouldn't matter. I met them, they're not, you know, but that's how I feel about her. Like that much where if it's like, oh, well, I don't have any family left. It's like, no, you don't. Or yeah, you do because you have me as family. You know, I can care less about her family history. Her without makeup on, I'm not that shallow. Like I can care less if she doesn't, she can go out with me with no makeup on. And it doesn't matter if she goes out and doesn't have makeup on, whether it's the first date or, you know, 20 years from now, it doesn't bother me like that, you know, because I've been in the dating field. I mean, how long has it been, Miles, since you've been in the dating field?
A million years.
Yeah, a million years. Okay. But It's hard to date right now. It's hard. It was hard 10 years ago. Yes. It's hard, bro. Like, I've been in it. It's hard. Because every date, it's just a new date. You know? And so, I'm just thankful that I found someone who cares about me and that will put up my shit. Because I'm not the easiest person to live with.
Yeah. And you know what, Brooke? He's willing to fight your ex, too. You know what I mean? I think this guy's a keeper. I just met him, and I want to give him a hug. I just met him, and I want to give him a hug.
Nah, but I kind of get what you're saying, but I feel like because Nate is, like, the most super quiet, I feel like
he's about ready to drop mic.
So, for me...
I'm just going to use my mic, use my thing to get on your shit. Go ahead, Nate.
So, I've never been attracted to the painted ladies.
Yeah, war paint.
Yeah. Makeup is always been like a turnoff for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've never dated anyone that wore heavy makeup. I think, you know, my current girlfriend only wears eyeliner. To me, like, if makeup's your thing, like, that's your thing, that's cool, but, and I'm not going to go, like, is it an insecurity thing, is it not? Because, like, honestly, guys, we don't care. And I've always referenced back to that John Mellencamp, I think it was, Wild Nights or whatever, like, all the girls dressed up for each other. And I really do feel that, you know, that's more the thing, because, like, guys, typically we don't care. I've never really cared. So the whether they wear makeup or not has never been a thing.
Well, what about the mental health thing, Nate?
So the mental health thing, like, you know, I don't have the thing. I grew up, I had, like, you know, an all-American childhood. My parents, you know, have been each other's best friends since they were 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And they're like 150 years old now or whatever it is. But and there's
love you, Ma and Pa Williams. Dude, you're not that old.
Oh, dude, that's pretty awesome, bro.
Yeah, no, my parents are amazing. You know, like, they'll call me and be like, hey, you know, we won't get a hold of us for the next 5 days. We're sailing in the Atlantic, or we're going to, you know, take the Harley down to Kentucky, you know, and,
jeez,
you know, they travel deep. All over. Yeah, they're cool. They're each other's best friend. And, you know, it's great. You know, I don't have any, like, you know, I had a great childhood. My parents are amazing. So it never occurs to me to ask, like, hey, like, is your family fucking nuts? I mean, maybe I should have asked that. You know,
I feel like in the beginning you might ask it, but if you're dealing with it already, and you don't know or you don't give a fuck, that's what it is. You don't give a fuck. But, like, I guess the question that I'm asking is, like, is it appropriate if you need to ask?
Well, what's your insecurity to ask that? Is it like a biological pedigree
so
thing? Like, you're trying to do an algorithm old lady?
Well, this is the way I look at it. This is the way I look at it, right? The way I look at it is, like, all right, as a man, as a person, right? You know your insecurities, right? So, like, I know, like, that I'm insecure, like, I have a confidence issue. No matter what, like, people might see me like, oh, Miles, how do you have a confidence issue? Because you're one of the most confident people I see, right? But I know I have a confidence issue, right?
Right.
So I study the leaders in confidence, and I study self-esteem people. And, like, Ryan, you know, like, we talk heavy on this all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
for sure.
During the night, like, late nights.
Yeah. Really, yo, right? We go deep.
Dude. But we go deep. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you don't want someone to have to go through what you think you went through, whether it is something that, and, like, Mo and I spoke about this before, is, like, whether you think that, okay, what I went through is not heavy enough for anyone else to have to go through, and I really don't care, but you know it's something, right? Like, so you know it's like, okay, this took 10 years of my life, and it was nothing. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think who are we to judge what other people, who are we to judge what other people, go through? Mm-hmm. Right. You just can't judge it. Like, I've always viewed it as, you know, a glass and it's full with water, and that weight that you drop in there, you know, is going to make the glass overflow depending on that level, and your resiliency and what you have gone through and your starting point. right, to me differs. Like mine differs from Nate's, right? We could drop the same weight and I might overflow, right? He might not, but the reality is that with regards to Nate and I, like with friendship and all that stuff, like I'm going to pick him up and he's going to pick me up.
Yeah, but when I met...
you know, and with regards to relationships, like Jillian is going to pick me up and I'm going to pick her up. You know?
I get what you're saying, but like when I met your wife, right? I would never think that she would marry you. And I told you that before. Because like,
yeah, man.
Your wife is like a comedian. Like she's
funny.
Like,
she's good. She's
on. Like every... She makes a joke out of every freaking thing.
Yo, but here's the question. Here's a question. Right. And this is true.
Yeah.
You think my wife's an introvert or an extrovert?
I would think she's an introvert.
She's the definition of an introvert.
Yeah.
She is like, she wasn't putting on a show for you guys, right?
Yeah,
but she was comfortable and she knew that I was comfortable.
She's just like,
right? Like, yeah. Like and that. She knew that I was comfortable, but, she is best alone. She rejuvenates alone.
That's how I am.
Yeah, like she's like, yeah, like she rejuvenates like by herself.
When I met his wife,
go ahead. So that's kind of how I am too. Like a lot of people, like at my job or at drill, they'll look at me like, oh. Mo's the funny guy. He's the one who always has things to say. He always talks heavy, things like that. You know, and in all reality, like once I, like when I go to drill for the weekend, I need a day to recuperate because I've seen so many people. And I'm so used to being in a house where it's just me, Brooke, and my dogs. And I don't go out to a lot of places. You know, I was supposed to go out with my sergeant over the weekend. And when he told me that we were going to go to Saratoga, I freaked out. Yeah, I freaked out because I've gotten to the point where I don't like crowds and I just don't like being around a lot of people. I can do like a restaurant or like a sports bar or something like that, but I start to freak out and I have to get out of places. And that's why a lot of times I drive everywhere I go because I never want to be in a situation where now everybody has to leave because I want to leave.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, my dad told me about that shit. Yeah. So I'm best. I don't mind being around people, but it can't be too many. And it has to be people that I'm comfortable with. Like at drill, I'm comfortable. You know, at the gym, I'm comfortable. In a bar where I don't know anyone, I'm not comfortable.
And that makes sense, right? Mm. I mean,
it don't make sense to me, but like, I get it though.
No,
it don't make sense to me because I'm extroverted to a point. But like what you were saying, Ryan, and what Mo's saying is like, I look at like when I met your wife, she kind of like Mo reminded me of your wife, and in a non-cynical fashion, to the point where like she was super fun, but because she was comfortable, you know what I mean. But like I know that like the joke she was telling, it was like she had to be comfortable to say that.
Yo, but can I speak honest on that?
Oh, you
quick?
Should. That's your wife.
So let's speak honest with that. So you and I weren't in the best spot at that point.
Oh, 100% we weren't.
Yeah, we weren't in the best spot at that point.
Yeah.
And
tight
ass. And shit. Yeah. And so what happened was I voiced my stress and anxiety and, you know, feelings about that. And, you know, I was a little bit worried about stuff. And we, you know what she did?
She broke the ice.
She stepped up to the plate, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a double. It wasn't a single. It was a home run that created this relationship now.
Nah, for sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, And I'll always love her for that.
Well, you know what? I can't let you breeze by that without, you know, saying something.
I'm so on tight there. That the video is not working, but it's up.
So you guys,
it actually looks good, dude.
So you guys weren't in the best spot. Now I'm not gonna ask.
Yeah, we had mad fights.
I'm not gonna ask about the fights or anything like that. But what?
I'll tell you.
I understand that, but that's not what I want to know. But what brought you guys back together? Like what? Okay.
Right. Reading.
No, I feel like it was like reading, and like on like we're both like. Like thinkers, so it's like I needed him and he needed me, and we knew that shit because like we knew we were like nerds and that shit, and like we were suffering without each other. I would say,
yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yeah, so it was like there's certain shit that I could talk to him about. Like I stayed on the phone with him for like hours talking about books and how we understood them. And it was like, it would be a fight on top of a fight.
Right.
But it was like, why would I ever talk to anybody else about this shit? Why would I even talk to anyone about this? Because I really don't care how anyone thinks about how I interpret a book.
Right.
But like, I do care how Ryan interprets a book because I understand his thought. And we've also been through real life things together where we could... correlate the situation to what is going on in life. And I feel like that is a very hard thing that people do and don't go through right now. Right? So with Ryan, I can say, okay, he told me about this book. I forgot what the book is, about the kid in Baltimore. They had the same name. Right? What's the name? You know the name of that book?
Oh,
Two dudes, like, so it was, I'll tell you the, you can chime in. It was like two dudes that lived a block away from each other. They had the same name.
Oh, now you right? get me a bit.
And West they had the same name. West something. They had the same name. And they just wound up living two totally different lives. And it was like, damn. They lived one block from each other. And like the lives are so different to the point where like, they live those two lives that kind of made them like, it was like a mountain type. I don't even know how to explain it, but it correlated to my life. Huh. You know what I mean? To where it was like, you kind of see that Brink of the Midnight moment where you.
The other Westmore.
Yeah, the other Westmore.
Yeah, like, it was money. It was fire.
Yeah, like dude. You could change your life. Based on what you think and then who you feel like you are. But like when you read the book, it was like, yo, like it wasn't that serious. It's like, yo, this dude, like they were right next, damn near next door to each other. And then they life separated and they didn't even know they lived next to each other.
Yeah. So what happened was, you know, Westmore and Westmore, right? So Reader's Digest version of it is, they didn't know each other at all, right? And Wes Moore, we'll talk about the one that ended up going to prison, right? He was in an armed robbery, I believe, if I remember it correctly, an armed robbery that ended up, he ended up going to prison, right? And then you have the other Wes Moore who right down the road, mom cared very, very, very much. You know, he rode three buses to school, you know, on a scholarship school, went to West Point, Rhodes Scholar, all this stuff. And just two diametrically opposed, you know, universes with regards to this, you know, was a White House intern, so on and so forth. And they ended up becoming like actually very, very good friends throughout this book. And they realized, I don't know how the nucleus of the book, like the genesis of the book started, but they realized how close they were to everybody. And it was just like one true poor decision changed it. Done, over with, you know what I mean? Like Beach and I can't say that. Nate and I can't say that. You know, we're from you know, very different backgrounds, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was deep.
It was the deepest book, one of the deepest books I ever read, and it was like, damn, like, and I'm not even gonna mess with the cameras anymore. But it was like, it was so dope that he thought that like that was a book that I had to read. And we fell out again after that and again after that. But it was like, our biggest fall out, I would say, was like during Hurricane Sandy.
No, it was about Jets tickets or something.
No. That was like our last fall out. But like the biggest fall out was Hurricane Sandy, when I knew I was like a senior NCO and you were like, yo, go to your room. That shit was
he was like, get out of my room, go to sleep, just fucking get away.
And I was like, yo, get the fuck out of here. And then it was like, yo,
Nate has something to say about that.
Yeah, like,
if a butter bar told me to go to my room, he'd be eating his teeth for
like, but it was some weird 100%. shit. And I didn't even expect that from him, but like we started fighting because the reason the fight originated, it was like, you're like, so we were in Queens, New York, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand the dynamic of that shit because I'm from Queens, right? And like I had like a soldier, he was like from the hood, like something that I knew. I grew up in the neighborhood, right? But Ryan knows me from upstate, so he knows me from here. And then, so when this dude was like, yo, Uncle, fuck, I'm leaving. I'm going home. My mom's, this is a Hurricane Sandy. Mm-hmm. And right before this happened, like, I'm talking minutes, President Obama was like,
oh, yeah, the gas.
He was like, yo, I got this much gas.
5,000 gallons of
5,000 gallons of gas.
The window.
In the middle of the hood. We in
a, yo, like, Jamaica
we
app.
In Jamaica app. We on Jamaica app. He like, yo, I got this much gas. And then Ryan was trying to, like, JFK it. He was trying to take everything on his plate. He's like, yo, I'm going to do the gas, and I'm going to bring this soldier to his house to see his mother. And I was like, yo, sir, you got to go to that meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
Like that? Really?
Yeah, because you was like, yo, all right, Parker's going to show me how to pump gas, because you wasn't even a fueler. And I was like, yo, you want to pump gas and bring this kid to see his mother and go to the 1300. I was like, yo.
Yo, Superman.
Yeah. I was like, chill. I was like, look, I'm going to bring this kid to get his mother. Because remember, I forget his name. It was a private. His mother was sick. And he was like, yo.
This stuff.
He was like, fuck it. He was like, yo, fuck it. I'm leaving. I'm going to go get my mother. And you was like, I'm going to take you.
Yo, and I walked into the colonel in time, and I'm like, yo, sir, so I'm going to take such and such to his mom's house. And he goes, we're having an accountability problem. I got a fuel tanker delivered by Obama out there. I got people trying to fucking fill up, you know, 5 gallons of thing, you know, 5 gallons of fuel in 5 gallon paint buckets. And you think that one of my primaries is going to bring his kid to see his mom? And I'm like, ooh, if you put it that way,
and I that said makes it to him sense. Before. I said it to him before.
I don't remember the go to your room. Like, that was probably just my, that was just my fucked up way.
Staff, I can call him right
now. That was just my fucked up way of saying, just leave me alone.
Yeah, he was like, go to your room. Yo, what do with this? Yo. And I was like, sir, like, don't worry about nothing else but going to this meeting. Like,
yeah, I'm totally different.
All
now.
Our guys, like, because remember, we 42 Alphas.
Yeah.
One of our guys just happened to be a fueler.
Mm.
But it was like, yo, when President Obama made the call or whatever to whoever, the whole street just flooded with people that wanted fuel.
Straight.
And I was like, why the fuck we want, why would we want to be like into that shit? Mm-hmm. But because I'm from that neighborhood, My uncle's outside. Everybody's there. Like, yo, what we about to do? Like, they think they got the inside scoop, and they did. But it's like, I'm not coming outside because it was crazy outside. What he do? Go outside.
Yo, I was a few
in the middle of the hood. Yo, we on Jamaican Ave. It's like the hood.
Don't judge me.
I'm like, he's bugging.
Oh my God.
How did this competition get to that?
I don't know. It went down to.
So we on last words right now because it's like an hour in.
Oh man.
But you understand what I'm saying? But like, we in a situation like the whole time this whole country's going on, we in like a damn near situation room.
Yo, it's
like one room. Like we lived in a room for like a week, sleeping on the floor.
I remember I was down in the city for Hurricane Sandy too, and matter of fact, this was the story that I was telling you about James, how he hooked me up. He hooked me up, and so I had a GSA down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
did you have fuel? We had it.
Huh?
Did you have fuel? We had it.
This captain was pissed because I was an E5. I forget what his name was. Otherwise, I would say his name. Right. But I was an E5, and I was driving around in a GSA. And he goes, "Who do you know that let you get a GSA?" And I was like, "Well, don't worry about it, sir. Like
your mama,
you know." So he tried to tell me, "Oh, we need to use your GSA to go here," and I said, "No, the hell you don't,
motherfucker." Yeah.
And he tried to take my GSA, so I remember that. I remember being down in the city for Hurricane Sandy. But even though that was tough. I met some really good people down there, and we're still friends till this day.
Yeah, I think this, like, if we talk about leadership and doubling it all back, right?
And we're gonna do after, like, I'm gonna dead this, and we'll do Vlogmas.
Yeah, that's fine. This.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if we talk about leadership and just double back on it, here's what I've learned. And the mistake that I made at that point is I didn't understand my position or role, right? Mm. What I did at that point is I had good intentions, but I led with my heart, right? Yeah. So now what I do is I've since learned and grown, you know, you have good intentions, but you don't necessarily lead with your heart. You recognize that your heart's there and you never have poor intentions. You always have your North Star, right? But if you lead with your heart in scenarios like that, you're going to have your colonel be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, that was vlog.
Yo.
That's dope.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dope.
And just recognize that it's there.
Yeah, that's fine. So, that's what got me thinking on some other shit right now. But, all right, on the podcast tip,
we got to get out of here.
And focus on me. We're out. Play myself show. And I'm sorry that the rest of the camera views aren't good right now.
Sorry, we love y'all.
We love y'all. Sherman Williams paint, whatever. And we love y'all. And we're gonna get to the Vlogmas section of this right now. So same channel, you can call the same crib, same hood. It's all good. All right, Vlogmas coming in 2 minutes. So what I want to do for